It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, it is a good life living for the Lord. Well, thank you for joining me once again as we look into the Word of God. The last time we left off in chapter 2, and we're going to pick up in Romans chapter 2 today in our study with verses 19 and 20. These verses say this, "And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in law." Well, Paul is speaking to the Jewish people here. He's saying, you've become comfortable. Well, notice the word confident in verse 19. Confident means convinced or persuaded. These Jewish people were convinced that their perspective was correct. If their hearts had been right with the Lord, then they would have been faithful witnesses to the Lord. Now, Paul is setting them up here for the big blow. He will bring them very low at this point. And notice that these two verses, 19 and 20, paint a picture of the Jew as feeling far superior to others. Confident, the verse says. And notice the words that Paul has been using to describe these people. It's resting comfortably, boasting, confident, and so forth. Paul needs to humble these people. He needs to disturb their rest and bring them very low. Well, I say Paul needs to. Well, the Lord's actually doing this. This scripture is God-breathed. This is God's words. God's actually using Paul as a penman, we'll say, to deal with the Jewish people at this time. Well, notice it's very difficult to break through religious pride. Religious people are trusting in themselves and not Christ. Many of those around today. And in fact, they're far too comfortable. Well, notice in verse 20, the word form. This refers to what is outward and external. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Well, outwardly, religious does not make a person right with God. Romans chapter 2, verses 21 and 22 says this, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Notice first of all the word taught, being taught. Paul is now ready to knock the props right out from under these religious Jews. First of all, these people had God's law and they heard God's law, but they did not do God's law, according to verse 13. And thus they will be judged by God's law, according to verse 12. Instead of being lawkeepers, they were lawbreakers. Before we teach others, we need to first teach ourselves. And I refer you back to verse 21, and this is especially true when teaching God's Word. Make sure the message first hits home to your heart before you teach it to anyone else. Well, these Jews failed to practice what they preached. Your actions speak so loud that I can't hear your words. And what flowed from their life contradicted what flowed from their lips. They taught the commandments, but they did not keep the commandments. Notice next that Jesus told his disciples to follow the teachings of the scribes and Pharisees, but not their works. This is an example back in the book of Matthew where Jesus is talking once again to religious people, and he's talking once again to his disciples about the Pharisees and scribes. Matthew 23, verses 1 through 3, where it says, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. What Jesus is saying here is they know the law. They know what is right. They know how to do what is right, but they're not doing it. You need to listen to what they say, because they know the law, he's telling his disciples, about the scribes and Pharisees here. They know the scriptures. And you need to listen to the scriptures, but don't look to them. Don't look to the scribes and Pharisees. When I see these verses, I think that it's teaching us also today that we're not to follow man. We're to follow God. We're not to set our sights on a man or a woman. We set people up on pedestals as human beings. But once again, people will let us down. People will hurt us. And therefore, I'm not telling you not to have friends. What I'm telling you is this. You need to trust in the Lord. You need to let God lead you. You need to have godly friends around you. And that means people who are doing what God would have them do. They're in the scriptures. Are they doing the scriptures? Are they doing what God wants them to do in their lives? Now, don't put your faith and trust in any human being. Put your faith and trust in the Lord. Romans chapter 2 and verse 23 says this, "Thou that makest thyself boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God?" Notice the witnesses here. First, instead of being excellent witnesses for the Lord, they were actually terrible witnesses. Then we see that the Jews dishonored God by breaking God's holy law. This is explained further in verse 24, where it says there, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." They were terrible witnesses for the Lord. It is written, Paul says, it's written, the name of God. The name of God stands for God's person and for his reputation. And by the way, the Jews lived. They dishonored God's name as they lived. Don't represent yourself as a saved person and live like the devil. Don't dishonor God that way. You need to get things right with God. If you've never been saved, you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart. But don't be a hypocrite. Don't let people think that what you are doing is what a child of God is supposed to do if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, if you're doing wrong. Be a child of God. Be a Christian. Be what God wants you to be. First, you have to ask Jesus into your heart. And then the Bible tells us we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Get into his word. Study his word. And let God lead you and mold your life as a saved person. Well, notice what else is written here. In this verse, just as it was written, Paul says, Paul, and I believe was thinking of, first of all, Isaiah. In chapter 52 and verse 5 of Isaiah, it says, "Now therefore, what I have here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught. They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed." It's sad that when things get rough for many Christians, they turn their back on God. But God never turns his back on the Christian, on the person who is saved. Many times we as human beings, as Christians, we will turn away from God. Not that we're lost and that we've lost our salvation, but we start blaming God. And even as Christian, we sometimes blame God for things that come into our lives that we don't understand. But God is in control. God knows what's going on. And don't turn on God. He's never turned on you. He wants to lead and guide you. Well, in Romans chapter 2 and verse 25, it says this, "For circumcision verily profiteth, if you keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." Well, notice the word profiteth, circumcision. The Jews rested comfortably in the fact that they were circumcised. Secondly, we see the Jews highly valued circumcision as stated in the Old Testament rabbinical writings. It says there that no circumcised man will be lost. Well, that's a lie. That's not true, is it? Just because a person has something done to them does not make them fit for heaven, just as going down into the water does not save a person, neither does circumcision. Number three, remember, in reality, circumcision was merely an outward ritual. It was meant to be an outward sign or seal of an inward reality. And although we have not studied Romans chapter 4 yet, we need to read verse 11 here. Romans chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also." In the days of Paul, there was a saying that Abraham stood at the gates of Hades to make sure that no circumcised man was ever cast into hell. That's just a saying. The outward ritual profits a person only if it is accompanied by the inner reality, according to the Word of God. The outward rite is worthless, of no benefit or advantage apart from the inward reality and the reality of knowing that you're saved on your way to heaven. Apart from this, it is just ritual with no reality, a symbol with no substance. It's like baptism. I've mentioned that. It's an outward sign of an inward possession. We possess Jesus Christ, and he possesses us because we've trusted him as our Savior. Well, Romans chapter 2, verses 26 and 27 says this, "Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee? Who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law?" Well, we can get mixed up in these words, but it's very plain. Notice the word nature. Uncircumcision, first of all, this refers to Gentiles, heathens in the Jews' sight, those who do not have the outward ritual of circumcision. And we see that if the Gentile has the inward reality of circumcision, then he has the one thing that really counts, and that is Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, notice Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. It says, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Now, we're going to pick up here next time with verses 28 and 29 of the book of Romans chapter 2. Study this chapter, if you would, and read the remaining verses of the chapter, and then we'll start in these verses that I've mentioned next time in Romans chapter 2. Well, my heart's desire for you is that you know Jesus as your Savior. Ask him into your heart today if you don't know him as your Savior. If you haven't done so, you need to ask him into your heart. Live for him. Let him lead and guide you. Be a witness for him and lead others to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You need to know that you're lost. The book of Romans says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And the Bible says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." It's a gift. Salvation is a gift through Jesus Christ. He's offering that to you right now if you will simply trust him. Turn your life over to him, and you will have a relationship with him that passes all understanding. You will know him as your Savior if you will ask him to save you today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.